It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. Welcome to the show for Issues 2024, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be with you.
It's been a while since we talked. I have a number of great questions, and then at the last second, something changed, and I needed to ask you about water, because it looks
sure.
Like that is a big, big deal. And what's going on right now as far as what the city council is trying to do, what you're trying to do with the city?
Great question, and very, very important given our current drought conditions. As you know, we've been in a drought for over a year. Lake levels at Cheney have dropped significantly, and Cheney is one of our main sources of water. So we have to take the next steps to try to conserve our use of that water source, and also to reduce our dependence on our well system, which supplies our groundwater as to our treatment plant. Excuse me. We have challenged our residents to reduce their use of irrigation. We have found that that's probably the one source or one use of water that we can control the best, and if we're effective, can actually be successful in conserving water until the drought's over.
And at what point do we say, okay, we didn't do well enough, now we've got to do mandatory?
Well, you know, nobody likes mandatory restrictions, and so we're trying to avoid that, and that's why we're really appealing to the community interests of our residents. If we can get a 10% reduction in water use, if every household takes this seriously, we can probably get through the drought without taking the next step, which would be a restriction on irrigation, no more than one time a week for lawns and for plant materials. And in fact, we probably would restrict people from planting new trees and shrubs and from overseeding their yards. Now, we're asking for on a voluntary basis that they not follow those practices, that they not plant this fall. But probably more importantly, we'd like to get everybody to once or twice a week in watering their lawns.
Well, I'm on board because I haven't watered my lawn in about 8 or 9 years, so at all.
Yeah, I've heard from your neighbors.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention, Steve, is that 80% of our residents are in what we call Tier 1, which means they're not heavy water users, and they don't pay a premium for the use of water. However, we do need to try to do something to curb the water use for the other 20%. And so we are asking the council to approve an increase in our rates, our water rates, for those folks in the top tiers that have some discretion in terms of what they do for lawn watering and irrigation. And we're just encouraging them to conserve through greater rates.
All right, we're going to come back to water and the water plants here in just a minute. But first, I want to talk about the city council close to approval of an annual budget. And we want to talk about that. But first, give us an idea of the size and shape of your responsibilities, Bob. How many employees work for the city of Wichita?
We have about 3,100 full-time employees, and then several hundred part-time and seasonal employees. Oh. Our budget, the budget that we've given the council now, is about $750 million. And our capital improvement program, which is all of our infrastructure work, that's over $3 billion over a 10-year period. So we're a pretty significant operation.
How many departments are there?
There are 15 departments.
15. Mm-hmm. And you've told me the spending proposal, but what, about
$760 million.
$760 million, and then there's capital. Okay. So the capital improvement, tell us about that. Is that paid for out of property taxes as well? How does that operate?
A piece of it is paid out of property tax. Some of our street and road work is paid from the sales tax. And then we have other revenue sources. As you can imagine, the water and sewer fees pay for the improvements at our treatment plants, as well as for the, all of our pipe work that we do underground. There are just a number of revenue sources that contribute into the payment of our, or the improvement of our capital, or of our infrastructure, excuse me.
Now, citizens tell us that their biggest concern, I'm sure, is public safety. At least that's what we hear. What are you proposing for police? Is there an increase?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve. As you know, one of the biggest challenges we've had in the last few years is getting enough or being successful in our recruitment efforts so that we have enough officers on the street. And that's been a top priority for Chief Sullivan since he arrived. And we, working with the union, we're able to get to a competitive wage structure. City Council approved an increase in wages this year, and we're negotiating with the union right now for the following year. And we're seeing pretty big classes come in. I just spoke to a new employee orientation on Monday, and we had, I'm going to say 25 police recruits that were in the room. So we're seeing a turnaround in our talent pool and recruitment efforts. And so we believe by next year we'll be at full strength in the department. So that's the first priority. And then the second priority has been on crime prevention. This year's budget is based on the top priorities as expressed in the citizen survey that we do. And one of those was an enhanced crime prevention effort. So the operating budget that I'm recommending to the council for next year has $45 million for crime prevention activities and crime reduction efforts. And that does not include our on-street presence of our police officers. So that's above and beyond what we do daily with our police officers.
All right. Now, what about the fire department? That's public safety.
Right.
Fire
department? Yeah. So, Steve, I can't remember off the top of my head what we have in fire. If you give me a second, I'll come back to that.
Okay, but, sure.
Right now, there's a couple of things that we are working on. We noticed that we have response time concerns in South Wichita and on the west side. And so we are planning to build two new stations. The first one will be in southwest Wichita, and the second one will be in northwest Wichita. Mm. And we've also assigned some new truck units to the south side to address the concerns we've had on fire response.
When you talk about suspending on personnel, there are other city personnel. You talked about 3,200 employees. They're not all firefighters or police officers. How are you having any trouble when it comes to retention and hiring on the folks who are non-public safety?
That's a great question, and that's something that we're discussing in this upcoming budget as well. And by the way, fire department is our budget's about $75 million for the fire department.
Okay.
So go back to the vacancies that we have throughout the organization. We have experienced difficulties in recruiting folks into many of our maintenance operations, and we have probably more turnover in those operations than I would like, and then we have difficulty in recruiting new people into those positions. And so our park maintenance and street maintenance and facility maintenance operations, at one time or another this year, were running at about 20% vacancy. And that's much higher than what we want. It's it makes service delivery a lot more difficult. And folks who are residents who have worked with us, had issues in park maintenance especially, know the impact of being short-staffed because they've had longer wait times for service.
Yeah, and you talk about those jobs. These are not especially jobs that require a great deal of education, a college degree, things like that, correct?
They wouldn't require an advanced degree. However, we do like to have folks who are coming to us with experience. And I speak to all of our new employees when they come in, and one of the as part of that process, I listen to their backgrounds. And very few people come to us directly out of high school, for instance, and many of them come from work in the community where they've done either similar work or they've been in the building trades. And that experience is really helpful to us, and that we actually prefer to hire people that have some experience, so that minimizes the training time when they're on the job.
Are you flexible enough to have maybe some part-time work for retirees who are looking to just make a little change and not work too hard?
Yeah, Steve, you've asked me before.
Hint.
Yeah, I know you're looking for a job when you're out of radio, and I'm sure we could find something for you.
Yes.
But yes, we do have a significant number of part-time jobs, and we try to be pretty flexible. And in some operations, we have experimented with more part-time positions, thinking that would be a way of getting staff that we need. Animal control is a good example of that. We went to a number of part-time animal handlers to deal with issues in the shelter. Found out it was hard to hire for those positions on a part-time basis. So I think we're going to pivot and go back to a full-time status. But we're always looking for unique ways to get people into our workforce.
I'm just wondering, because if you don't have something for me, I might have to run for mayor. And then you really...
Well, you know, that position is filled right now, and I don't think she's going to give it up to you. But
you're listening to Issue 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. You know, citizens are they're always concerned about those streets and bridges. What are the plans for repair and maintenance on streets and bridges? Part of the capital improvement, of course.
It is. And the City Council, this 10-year capital improvement program that we're presenting, will have more money for roads than I believe we've ever had before. We'll have $149 million budgeted over a 10-year period, so almost $15 million a year, for just street maintenance, and most of that will go into residential streets. And I've mentioned this numerous times. That's probably one of the top priorities of our residents. I hear it every time I go out to a neighborhood group. So we still have a lot of work to do, but that's very significant. When I arrived, we were only putting about $2 million in to street maintenance. So that'll give you an idea of how that has grown. We're also going to start a brand new program. We're going to put $20 million into the repair of concrete streets, which present unique challenges, and those roads usually have to be fully reconstructed in order to be able to address the structural problems that we have. Mm-hmm. And then the council has put, if I remember right, it's about $39 million into some paving projects of existing dirt roads. Mm-hmm. And those the area of emphasis right now are on dirt roads that are in the vicinity of elementary schools so that the kids have a safe surface close to their school.
I've just been noticing it recently, and I don't know why, because I live in the Riverside area, and many of those streets are very old, and some of them are getting pretty rugged, and no doubt about it. And I don't know whether you're going to completely repair them or replace them or whatever, but yeah, there's areas of town that really need some help on those streets.
Yeah, if they're concrete streets, they present a unique problem because you can't put asphalt over that concrete and expect it to last very long.
Right.
Just doesn't bond to that concrete pavement. So that you have to go in with full reconstruction in most cases, or at least replacing as many bad panels as you can. Mm-hmm. And that's very expensive. Mm-hmm. We have much more luck with the asphalt streets, and we have a pretty robust program for upgrading our streets, our asphalt streets. And as I said, we're focusing on residential especially.
And now back to water. We're talking about a new water treatment plant that has been a huge undertaking for the city. When can we expect that thing to come online?
The work is substantially completed right now. The drought is providing us a little bit of a challenge because before we can put that plant online, we have to test it and go through a commissioning process, which means that you're running a significant amount of water through that plant while you're also supplying water to our public. Because we have limited available water right now, because this is our heaviest use period, plus complicated by the drought, we have to slow down our testing process at the new plant. So right now we're anticipating it'll be April before that line, that new plant is online.
How much is that final cost on that plant?
What's it going to be? A little over $500 million.
Yeah. But a lot, is some of it paid by federal government or other government?
Half of it came from low interest loans provided by the federal and state governments.
Okay.
And frankly, if it hadn't been for their assistance, we would not have been able to do the project. And I give real kudos to our congressional delegation who helped us secure those loans. And, you know, so many people rail against EPA, but EPA was our partner in both of these projects, both our water and our sewer treatment plant projects. And I couldn't have found a better federal agency to work with.
Sewer treatment now, that's the plant on the south side. Has that been completely redone or rebuilt or repaired?
Portions are being reconstructed and it's being improved. We're not building a brand new plant, but many aspects of the treatment process will be completely reconstructed and new when we're finished with that work.
Tell us about the city's role in dealing with unhoused people, homeless folks.
Steve, that's a great question, and we probably could take a full hour talking about that. But this is one of the top priorities for this mayor and council. The current situation for unhoused residents in the community is unacceptable. And we need a different model in order to be able to successfully address that issue. And we're going to go ahead and construct what's called a multi-agency center, which is an intake point and a location for all of the agencies that are dealing with homelessness to be able to be, to have resources there, and we can match up homeless individuals with the appropriate resources to get them into a better living situation and into work and into treatment when necessary. The project right now is tentatively scheduled or planned to be in the old Park Elementary School. We've worked with the school district to acquire that property. They've been a wonderful partner in that regard. The council has committed $8 million to renovate that building and turn it into temporary shelter space and an intake space, as well as to provide the offices necessary for the outside agencies. And then the council's also committed $500,000 a year to go towards the operations of that facility. The budget for that the operating budget for that facility is $2 million, so we're looking for other partners to help fill that gap.
We've talked before about the impact of the COVID pandemic on city operations, but are we back to 100% after where we were before COVID came along?
We are, except for the staffing challenges that you and I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
There are some operations that were our staffing dropped. It was difficult for us to get people back into the pipeline, and we're still having some difficulties in terms of competition for the workforce in the area. We're competing with a number of private as well as other public employers.
Federal grant money helped Wichita weather the storm, correct?
Really did. We received over $70 million. Some of that we put right back into the community. Council emphasized helping nonprofit agencies and small businesses get back on their feet. So about $20 million of the $70 million went right back into the to help those entities. And then we have used that money to help to build a new police station on the east side of the community, looking at building enhancing our branch libraries with some of that money as well. So we're going to come out stronger after COVID as a result of that assistance.
Now, Boeing is reacquiring Spirit AeroSystems, Wichita's largest single employer. Do you have any, give us an opinion. What do you think the impact will be?
Well, I've read a lot about this, and we've had limited conversations with the Spirit representatives. I think we're fairly optimistic about the situation. The fact that Boeing will now be in control again of its total production process, and they recognize the value of the workforce here in the community. And plus, if you look at the capital investment that Spirit made and Boeing before them, it's not something they can walk away from. So I'm guardedly optimistic that we've got a good future with Boeing. And the mayor has worked hard to develop some relationships. She's continuing to meet with Boeing officials to make sure they understand how important they are to our community and that we're here to support them.
Give us an overview on the new medical education impact on the downtown area.
True game changer. Maybe one of the most important things to happen to this community in the last 20 years. During recessions, we talk about the need to not be so dependent on aviation, because aviation is cyclical, and during the recession, we see cutbacks both in jobs and even in property values. The biomedical center that will be built by KU and WSU downtown will really help us move in a direction of creating this great medical infrastructure through the training of students to go into the various medical fields, including having a medical school in that building. But what we're seeing now is a significant amount of activity for support services or businesses that want to be around the biomed center, and that will be medical clinics, lab facilities, as well as a number of housing and retail operations. So really excited about what it's doing for the downtown, but more importantly, how it's going to diversify our economy.
Looking at what you have proposed, what is the bottom line here? What, on the budget, how short are you, and how will we make up the difference?
The budget that I recommended to the council for 2025 is balanced. And so at this point, I don't think we have too much concern there. In 2026, we've taken a number of actions with, under council guidance to position us better for 2026, which we knew would be a problem year. That year right now is still out of balance by about $3.5 million, but we have some time to go ahead and implement some changes in the way we're structured to be able to make up that $3.5 million. Where I'm more concerned is 2027 and 28. We're probably $9 to $10 million out of balance for each of those years. That's a structural imbalance, and it's going to take a lot more work, strategic work, to be able to address those issues.
Did you have some time, it sounds like. Did that recent cyber meltdown have an impact on city operations?
It obviously made it difficult to provide services for a few weeks, several weeks, actually. We're back up and running, and we did have insurance to cover the limited losses that we incurred during that period of time.
I'm talking now specifically about the one recently with the cloud burst or whatever it was.
Oh. No, believe it or not, that actually had very minimal impact on us. And I think the only people that noticed it were those that were at the airport, and the arrival and departure boards went down again as part of all that. But it's in terms of our operations, I think we had one little blip, and we were able to work around that pretty easily.
So are you still enjoying the job? We're almost out of time.
I am, Steve. I love working for the mayor and this council. They're full of a lot of energy and have some great ideas about how we're going to move forward. It's a very optimistic time for Wichita.
As always, thanks for being with us, and we appreciate your time. We'll check with you again here in a few weeks, maybe. Thank you,
great,
sir.
Thanks, Steve.
Our guest, Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. And he's been our guest several times. We look forward to talking to him again sometime here in the future. That's all for this edition of Issues 2024. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And, of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.